this meeting of the Committee on Public Works, Parks, Labor, and Transportation to order. Thank you for your patience. It's a 4 o'clock meeting call, and we're starting at 4:25. Everyone has the agenda in front of them.
Would you like to do the minutes?
Yeah, I think
we don't. Motion, we approve the minutes of January 19th.
January 19th, right? Okay. So we have a motion and a second to approve the minutes as they're presented to us. There's no discussion. The minutes are approved as they appear before us now. We have two items for discussion up today. The first item comes in from legislator John Testa. Involves a sewer district modification. And as you'll see, it's information from the town of Cortland with regard to the reinstatement of one parcel of property in the Peekskill Sanitary Sewer District, 14 Laurie Road, and that is, in fact, in the town of Cortland. The procedure here is to vote to refer this to the county executive. And that will begin the process. Mr. Pinner, that's correct? Is it not? Okay, so entertain at this time a motion to have a motion.
Second.
Have a second. Is there any discussion? Okay, on the motion to refer this to the county executive.
Mr. Chairman, sorry, this is item number one.
Item number one.
Yeah, just to point out, I think that is the right procedure. It just goes into the administration, but at this point,
yes.
It is limited to the reinstatement. So
right.
I imagine this was in fact
taken out once
at some point.
Yes, yeah.
So this is a little unusual. I guess it's done.
And then when it comes back down, it comes to here, and then it goes to budget.
And then we go through the whole thing. But just a point, it is a reinstatement.
Mr. Agassi is right. This is a reinstatement. Mm-hmm. That's what it says.
Yes.
All right. That's interesting.
The reinstatement of one portion. You
right.
Said that.
Okay. All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. The item one then is approved or sent to the county executive. Item two is an item coming in from legislators Jenkins and Peter Harcum. As an act required that all county buses contain bicycle racks. And we have with us here today from our Transportation Department Deputy Commissioner Harry Stanton. Harry, good to see you.
Thank you very much, sir.
Right,
where would you like me to sit?
Oh,
right there. Come over here.
You
down here.
Come on, close it. That way we can hear you.
Comfortable, but you know, that's great because you can be part of the group here.
Chairman, if I may start before we talk about bicycle racks, I just want to brief you because you probably have been in here today, haven't had a chance to see the news today at all. We did have an accident involving one of our buses today in Tuckahoe. The good news is no one is seriously injured. The bus was at a bus stop loading passengers on White Plains Road. It was struck from the rear by an SUV. My understanding is that three of the passengers on board and the driver of the SUV have been taken to Lawrence Hospital with minor injuries, and that the driver, after drug testing, will be also treated at the local hospital.
Was this up on top of the hill where Winter Hill is?
Is that Winter? Exactly Winter right. Hill. Winter Hill Road is exactly where it stopped.
Yes.
Hmm.
And also, I
thank God it was up there and not down the village where we have the problem going.
All right, and we, our inspector was on the scene shortly after the accident. He called me, gave me some details that we don't need to discuss, but we've eventually, but I want to make sure we have them verified before we discuss.
Was it a 40 or a 40 express?
His assumption is that it was, that we're squeaky clean.
Yeah, but was it a 40?
It was a 40,
northbound
40. Northbound 40 occurred about 1 p.m. today.
Thank you.
And that's our procedure, huh? We have an inspector that goes out on.
Yes, sir. That is correct. We have our own as well as the bus company.
Yeah.
But we'll send our own people out.
Mm-hmm.
And village police deferred to the county police investigation, mm-hmm. So the county police have.
Yeah, chief's pretty good about picking that up right away.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Also, I just learned today about the passing of Sherman's brother, whom I have known for, well, there's no sense in mentioning how many years.
long before.
And a very nice person. He will be missed. My condolences.
Thanks, Jerry. Thank you.
Okay, bike racks. You know, we have been talking about putting bike racks on buses for some time. Okay, we have purchased two bike racks. We tried them out on the buses, and we selected a model that we thought would be the most useful for us. Right. We had intended to do a pilot on one of the routes in the northern part of the county with and do an evaluation as to whether or not it was could be successful. We have since decided not to do that. And the reason is, it's easy. In the current economic climate, we are devoting every penny we have to maintaining our regular bus service. As you know, when you went through the budget process, we held the taxes levy this year to $18 million, which is actually $2 million less than it was last year. To do that, we programmed in $3 million worth of service cuts. We've made $1.4 million of those already. We expect to come back to you with a suggestion that we draw down some additional available federal aid. It could be used for other purposes, capital, but draw it down so that we can get us through this unusual economic situation right now. Just a few days ago, the state executive budget was released, and we were cut another $3.6 million.
Now STOA?
From STOA. Really? That's now 3.6 less than what we had budgeted in. It's over 2 years.
To get it up there after being emaciated with all the other
years. We are, and I use the word several times in the past. It's cataclysmic.
Yes.
And it's a one-year problem, but it's also institutional. Okay, we are managing our way through this, but we need to make some institutional changes on the state side, on the aid side. I can bring tears to your eyes and go through this for
a minute. No, but it's important we know it.
The bottom line is, on the bike rack situation, we need to stick to the basics of our service right now and try to avoid any addition. I know one of the legislators asked me, well, if we get a grant, if there's money out there for bike racks, I would ask the grantor to make it available for operating. Because we just, right now, we don't have enough money to get through the year.
Mr. Chairman, am I correct in recalling we thought about doing this also with the Rockland to Westchester run and the difficulties with that? That was one of the issues that we had.
Rockland, I believe, the Rockland-Westchester buses, as I recall, use high-floor buses with luggage compartments underneath.
Yes.
So we did not permit buses with open luggage compartments to come into the bus terminal in Great Plains, so we had them seal those. Okay. About a year ago, we agreed to let them reopen them and use those luggage compartments for bicycle storage. Okay. So they can bring bicycles in. From
the
Rockland.
Low-floor buses, the new ones.
Well, those are new. Our new ones are low-floor.
We have the low-floor.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
We don't have that.
That's not right. I haven't heard of any problems with the Rockland service yet. We're the ones who have low-floor.
I just wanted to try to draw a correlation between the type of bus that comes there that where they're allowed and the type of buses we have.
Those are
most of them are replacements with the new low hybrid. We don't have those. Okay.
Just a question. From the experience, have you talked to other bus lines? I'm just curious. I mean, I think in the scheme of things, buses could be a good idea, but what does that add to the time? I mean, someone has a bus, does it take 30 seconds or does it take 5 minutes for the driver to get out and put the bus
in? No, it takes, well, in most places, New York is a unique environment. In most places,
hang on and ride the
driver, the driver does not get out. Okay? The rider, the bicycle rider, is required to lower the mechanical device, affix the bicycle,
and raise it,
and lock the bike, and then board the bus. As you know, in New York, it reminds me of some years ago, I was in San Francisco and on the cable car, and when we got to the end of the run, there was a turntable, and the passengers got out,
and they pushed it. and you push the bus around.
As an attorney.
Oh, my back.
They did it, though.
Yeah. They never took the cable car around. Years.
Okay, so, you know, we talk about the passengers participating in the operation of a mechanical device, I'm very leery. Nevertheless, that's the way it is done.
So, John, okay, but so it takes a couple of minutes. I mean, I'm just curious in terms of a run.
That's right. You know,
is what it is.
That's right. You have to take it into consideration. But right now, you know, we're not able to get to those substantive issues because the dollar issue is so overwhelming. Okay, we really just don't know how we're going to do this right now. We are literally managing the system. Try to get us through the year.
Okay. So, Mr. Chairman, I noticed no legislation was drafted in front of us. There's the memo asking that this legislation be done. So I guess it's a decision for this committee to suggest whether or not we go forward.
This is the bicycle apps?
I have had many constituents requesting, but I had constituents, the riders that can't wait for the Putnam right away to be ready to utilize this type of service. But at this point, taking the testimony from the deputies,
it's real desperate financial situation.
And notice it says financial impact. We're using federal and state grant monies, which we're not even getting the federal or state monies for our own buses.
Again,
operating.
If we had it, the project would be eligible for federal, but it doesn't create any new federal. Right now, we're projecting a long-term deficit in federal grant money, in capital money, because on 2014, we've got 78 of those large articulated buses we have to replace. And we just have not identified the long-term funding for that. But in the short term, we're not pumping everything we have into operating.
Hmm. And even with that, you anticipate a budget shortfall?
Well, right now, because of the new proposed state budget. Yeah, we're looking at not enough money.
Yeah.
Even if we draw down, and anything we get now, I would recommend to you that we put into operating system to cover the gaps.
The in recent years, and I know a couple of years ago we had that August kind of midterm adjustment by the governor. And then, of course, a few months later, in December, we had the impact on everything of the governor's early release of the state budget proposal. Is there anything else that we're anticipating that could in fact cut our state aid further, other than just this ongoing awareness of this larger and larger budget deficit?
Well, you know, how much? In fiscal 2009, we received $47,940,000 in stolen. That's state transportation operating assistance. Now that had been cut $33,000, okay, from the original appropriation. The governor's, last year we got $45,223,000. But we were told we could expect it to ramp up again this year. Mm-hmm. Instead, the proposed budget right now is $43,325,000. So it's down 4.6 in just 2 years. Mm-hmm. And down. Now, our wage costs haven't gone down. We got a break on fuel this year, but that was overwhelmed by wage costs. Okay, and that the wages and the fuel will come back next year. I'm sorry, I just don't have any good news for you.
I had spoken recently with Commissioner Sally with regards to, at least through the end of the year, saving that line that travels down from Port Chester to Rye,
76.
The 76 route. And he was able to move some funding around to continue that. But he said at the same time there would be quite a substantial reevaluation and in a total survey of all
systematic.
Of our, systematic. Has that started?
Yes, you're looking at the starter.
I see. Okay.
Yeah, I started working on exactly that. Okay, because we need to come back to. We'll need to come back to you during the year, pretty soon, I think, with some alternate funding. To cover the rest of the cuts that were proposed in the budget.
Mm-hmm.
When you passed your budget, there were over $3 million worth of service cuts and all. We think we have funding to avoid, we've made 1.4, we think we have money to avoid the rest right now. Then the problem we have to tackle is both the state budget problem as well as the county shortfall. The counties. So, we're trying now to identify what other funds. And don't want to get out of bed in the morning.
When is the last time, if I may, when were the last time, I hate to say this, but when were the last time rates were raised?
Just a year ago.
They were.
Yeah, we didn't.
What is the rate now?
We had to go up to the rate studio because of the metro.
The MTA.
Right.
And what is the current cost?
225.
225?
Right. I would expect
that. Still have resource books available and stuff.
Well, let's begin. Yeah, we had. The base fare, which is also referred to as the symbolic fare, is $225. Average customer fare now is about $148.
Why is that?
Well, because we have so many discounts. We have time-based plans.
I see.
MetroCard baseline. And that's been fairly consistent.
And what do you think it should be? In order not to have these problems with the state cuts, what would it have to be? If we kept everything the same.
Well, the fare... Fair traditionally covered 50% of the operating cost. The operating cost now is approaching $4. But it varies greatly from route to route.
Mm.
Got it. What's the total over $96 million?
Yes, so we're talking the system cost right now about $128 million.
Yeah, and remember that we only had up until 2-3 years ago $25 million in stove before they gave us a big increase. So compare that with Nassau, and that gets $90-something million. You know,
it's like school aid.
Yeah.
Judy just reminded me, but it's did the department do any final analysis of our three free bus days and what the total impact on the budget is?
Offhand, I don't remember what those numbers were.
Delicately.
And there's no turning back the clock on that?
Well, there's no... It's
water.
It's money in the fountain, but, that was several hundred thousand dollars.
It's just at this point, buses under the underpass.
Yeah, that's it.
Unless you could find everybody who rode the bus then and say, oh, we're so sorry, we made a mistake. And can we have that? Could you put your...
Is this like lowering taxes? The more free days you give out, the more money we make? I mean, is that like...
No, it doesn't work.
Doesn't work.
There was an increased ridership report, though, right? Because of that? It was anticipated it would be spiked so that people would shop.
One of the 3 days had a significant increase.
Yeah. The two days.
I think it was the Friday after Thanksgiving.
But the problem is, if you remember when we did the 7 weeks free back in 2005 after the strike, we saw a 140% increase.
Yeah.
So there are times.
Yeah, well, that made sense.
What that did was, that did restore us immediately. Generally, when you have an interruption of services, you've got at least 1 to 2 years before you get back.
I mean, you guys made the point. That seems to make sense.
And then when we started collecting fares again, we were right back where we were.
Yeah.
And the state funded it. So that was another small...
I was just curious.
Yeah, I know. The reason you got to be so careful with this stuff is that the cost side is so high. It's just... We have routes that return 96% of their operating cost. And we have other routes that return 80% of their operating cost. But for the passengers on those routes at 9%, the service is just as important.
Yeah.
They pay the same taxes. So we need to...
It's balance.
We need to balance. But right now, we need to focus on the basics, providing this service. keeping the buses safe, keeping them operating, and provide the service.
Mr. Chair.
Spellbrow.
Are you running, since you have reduced routes and you may do another round of elimination, do you have buses that you are not using?
We are, this week, removing 11 of our 11 oldest buses from the fleet. So we're bringing the fleet down from 358 to 347. That will mean that the oldest bus in the fleet is now 2002.
Yeah. They're going on eBay?
That's right. Do
we have any small commuting type buses?
And they're all,
for Scarsdale train station runs? Because I know the town of Eastchester was looking for a grant from NIDA. They're banking on it, but you know, the village, David Cope is buying a trolley to get transportation around the village, but the town would like to try to do it. We
don't let me encourage
in case, but
don't let me encourage it to do that, because they are really they've seen
their better days. No, I understand. Just wanted to know.
About how many miles?
I did get asked the question. I asked it and I got
300 plus. 300,000 plus. No, I just
my Honda's got another 200,000 to go.
Well, the heavy duty buses, you know, as you remember a year ago, less than a year ago this year, we were able to sell 84 of our surplus buses to the MTA. Because we had kept them in very good shape. But those buses they were 17 years old and had clue.
They want to go forward.
Over 350,000 miles of service on them.
Yeah. How about this one? These ones are older?
These are about the same. No, these are not as old, but these are light duty. They're shuttle buses. We get in there.
Oh.
They're just not built for this stuff. They're not heavy duty. The heavy duty transit buses have a useful life, a guideline useful life of 12 years. The shuttle stuff is 4 years. Well, there's also an alternative mileage one. I just don't remember what it is. It's 12 years or 350,000 miles, something like that. But the 12 years.
Harry, in the past, you always used to give us, you know, at some point during the year, your analysis of the next round. You talked about maybe fuel cells or hybrids. But are you saying now, looking at 2014, I mean, one, you're looking for money. But is there a game plan based on the fleet now? If and when we buy more, do you know what it is you're looking at?
Right now, we're looking forward toward purchasing articulated buses using the same technology as the recently purchased low-floor hybrid buses.
Hybrids. So fuel cells falling out of, are they not pursued?
It's just not moving as quickly.
It's not moving as quickly.
And in all honesty, you know, you don't want to buy the first Edsel, but you don't want to buy the first Toyota either. And that's you know, that's obvious. Yeah. That's a phrase I used to use.
Right.
But you don't want to buy the last Toyota.
We're talking about this 5, 6, 7 years, but fuel cells really are still have not made it into the marketplace. Really.
Yeah, we don't want to do R&D.
Okay, no, I agree. But I thought maybe by now, but they're just not. The hybrids have taken over the market.
Hybrids have taken. Now they come with a lot of. They come with their own set of problems. They are dramatic improvements in pollution control. Emission control.
The hybrids.
Hybrids, sorry, yes. And much toward delight, at least in the first few months of large-scale operation, they have significant fuel.
Yeah.
Which, frankly, we didn't really expect. The test bed tests we ran with West Virginia University 2 years ago, we said, oh, fantastic savings. We put those four on the street and we didn't really see that. But the new ones, you know, the numbers look real good. In terms that they're much more complex mechanically, and you know, reliability and maintenance costs are things that we still have to see where they go. And low floor, of course, is separate the low floor from the hybrid. The low floor costs space. It takes seats and floor space right out of the bus, because as you lower the bus, the wheel cavity comes up into it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's a tremendous, we're talking like a 15-20% loss of capacity.
Hmm.
Okay. Now, those of us who grew up in Brooklyn don't have that much problem with that, because we never knew the buses had seats. I'm sorry. I apologize.
That's good.
Okay. Commissioner and I both grew up in Brooklyn. Many of our staff grew up in Westchester, and they associate riding a bus with the seat. Odd. But we need to assess, you know, reassess how many buses have to go out to make the service because of that, that mm-hmm. difference.
And we require every bus to meet reasonable accommodation, the ADA, every bus.
We are now in full compliance. 100% of the fleet is in compliance with ADA standards.
And that is, the standard is 100%, not like every other bus?
The state is 100%. Every bus on every route.
Okay.
Okay, we essentially we have either ramps on the low floors or lifts on the standard buses, but we are 100% in compliance. We are also, with one exception, 100% compliance with the counties, the legislators, your rules on emissions and fuel use. And we have retrofitted every one of our buses that does not meet the 2007 engine standards in compliance with your statute, with one exception, and that one exception is 36 buses that are narrow, short and narrow, the 30-foot, 96-inch wide buses. We have not been able to get the particulate filter inside the engine compartment. With that exception, every one of our buses now meets the 2007 standard. And frankly, because those buses are light and small, their emissions are much lower even than some of the other buses that we've retrofitted. But nevertheless, we have not. Best available technology is a key phrase. We have not identified best available technology for that particular bus. Other than that, we are 100% compliant.
Harry, with this budgetary time, and then in sync with the ADA concern that Martin just mentioned, this 100%. I would have the question, especially in Yonkers, can you, for one final time, and specifically Yonkers, who is in charge of making sure that the area where people come onto the bus or get off the bus is clean? Because it's terrible in my town. Terrible. And then we need to resolve it. And honestly, the complaints continue to pile up. Lawsuits are going to begin because people are getting smarter and realize that this is a right. We are providing this service. They can't get on the bus.
What did you say is in the...
Where the bus stop...
Maintenance of the bus stop is the issue.
Oh, okay.
It's just horrible. And you know what? Yeah. But the main complainer until she retired at the end of last year has been my mom. You know, but the truth of the matter is that is... complaint in the winter.
You're absolutely right. And it's, but, I mean, legally, traditionally, by every measure, the local community, and whether the community assigns that to the adjacent property owner or whatever, it's mm-hmm. the responsibility of the community. Now, we do have a staff of 6 maintenance men who go out and they, you know, the roads are supposed to be salted by the local communities. If we have a slick spot, they go and they address it to keep the fleet running. If we have a problem with a particular bus stop or whatever, we'll go out and do that. We also maintain our own bus terminals at the White Plains and at New Rochelle. But basically, it is the community that is responsible.
And the community is telling them that it is the county.
The county.
And we are in the middle of this shenanigans.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It was my understanding that could we get through you, Mr. Chairman, the list of locations that are maintained by contract agency? Because I think that would be helpful because there are supposed to be some of the bus stops that are actually maintained by the contract agencies. They come out and they clear the snow off of some of them. There's other ones, especially the ones in Getty Square, around the property owners where they're supposed to be cleaning the property. And if we can have that, that's helpful because when we get the complaints in, at least we can direct them appropriately. We tell them to call the 2222 number, and we do try to follow up on that. But as Leslie Alvarado says, that it is a complaint because people don't know who's supposed to do the work and
there is a general rule, and it's almost universal, is the community. There are several unique exceptions. The FDR Park bus stop that we have in Yorktown is done by Liberty. Liberty has a contract. We reimburse Liberty. The state reimburses us. It's a little complicated. Okay, because it's a state park. So we need to have it open at 5 o'clock in the morning. The park doesn't need it until, well, on a snowy day, they don't need it. So, but the state does reimburse us for cleaning it. And as I say, we have our own people go out because we need to keep the service running. But I'll check to make sure, but I really don't have many situations where we would have a contract.
Because then it helps us, Mr. Chairman, to be able to go to the municipality and say, this is part of your responsibility, and then we have to figure out how to do it.
And where we have shelters, as you know, we have contracts with the local communities, and we give them money. We share the advertising revenue 50-50, and that's supposed to pay for the
things. And that's the reason why I'm bringing it up, because I've seen it. I mean, like 7 years ago was the last time, because I came by bus here to test the system one time. And it is horrible. Southport, Gate Square. Let's not even go Route 8 that goes up into the hill.
In the big snowstorm on February 10th, we were able to maintain service everywhere in the county except Getty Square. We had, I believe, 7 buses stuck at Getty Square. We finally went around. That was the only place in the county. And it is.
So, and I was interested. I actually had a meeting with the mayor on the 10th, and when I left, it was at 9 o'clock in the morning. So when I left the meeting, I was like, "Wow, they don't know anybody down here." I mean, the streets were not cleared at all. So I agree with your assessment.
But that was just a fact. I mean, that was just a fact.
But I think it's about time we do something that we got to. It just doesn't make sense, and people are going to get hurt.
Well, and if you can, especially Mr. Chairman, again, if the revenue from the shelters, if you can provide some of those numbers to us as well, because you know what happens is the municipalities may cry poverty on those particular items, but if we are providing the revenue, and that revenue essentially is to be utilized to keep that area maintained, then that should get done. And you know, if they have extra dollars that they're doing with that's not our concern, but at least the main purpose of the money.
Right.
Mr. Chairman, and I apologize if you did get to...
Just for years, Howard, just curious, the White Plains for years would not sign...
I was just going to say, that's one of the reasons why some of the communities have never signed
yeah,
it.
Yeah, they refused. The mayor refused to allow that contract to be signed, and so for years they were giving up their one... Mm-hmm. Their 50% share of the revenue, we complain about the conditions of the bus.
Let's be honest, that's not really a windfall. You know, it's a breeze.
Yeah.
Okay. But it's and advertising revenue. Well, there's a good example. I talk about the long range systematic problems. Several years ago, we were bringing in $2 million a year for the concession on the side of the buses.
Yeah,
it's down to $1 million.
Wow.
Right.
And it's. I wouldn't be surprised to see it go away in the foreseeable future.
It won't go away. Sure.
I think.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Vito and I think we were here in the initial discussion about the elimination of the bus wrap.
The wrap, yeah.
Remember that?
That's true. Remember the wrap. That's right. People were remember, that, and that's at a time when advertisers were urging us to get into it.
We even invited them to come to the county parks.
When we did. The first advertising contract with TDI, I think was the firm, it was a stag. Nobody in the country had any idea. We only gave them 300 buses and $2 million a year. And they made money the first year, and not after that.
Mm-hmm.
And the constant erosion of that money. Since
so we're down to now about $1 million?
About $1 million, yeah.
That's the buses and the shelters?
No, the shelters are separate.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
But
just the buses.
The buses, the bus contract is with Titan Advertising, and the shelter contract is with Clear Channel.
Mm-hmm.
The shelter contract is much smaller. The shelter contract emphasizes service, maintaining the shelter structure itself, replacing the one. We had to put, not, I should replace them in kind, not in, not putting into a generation of shelters. And when we go out to do that again, I think that's the next thing. We want. Mm-hmm. They're getting dated. Maintaining them is hard. Mm-hmm. But that'll be the next, mm-hmm. we'll do the next round.
How many years did we have a contract for advertising on the side of the buses and the wraps and the, do you remember how many years we had
that? That predates me. It was winding down. The wrap was an experimental contract. It was winding down 10 years ago. And then it was, I guess, 2004 when we went out for the side panels. Side panels and interior. Mm-hmm. The interior is virtually unused. I remember I had an economics professor in college who said you could measure the national economy or the regional economy by watching the interior ads on the subway cars.
Mm. Yeah.
When it was,
it was running good, a lot of ads.
That's right. When it was public service, and it was, and then also the kind of ads running. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mr. Jack.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I know our agenda today was an item that Legislator Hawkum and myself presented about requiring bus racks on the buses, and this particular request for legislation, because it's not baked yet. It was just certainly the ideas and formulating the item. Certainly recognizing, as Deputy Commissioner Stanton had mentioned, about the need to maximize revenue through the system and making sure that that's where dollars are focused. This particular item would be one where utilizing the existing proposal, which was there, which the county purchased, Liberty Alliance purchased, a set of racks that were to be implemented on Bus Route 19 that was selected by, I think, between the Department of Transportation and Liberty Lines to be the test route to see how well that would work. And then after that test to determine how to move forward with something that might be system-wide. Certainly the parameters of that, Mr. Chairman, would be to get that through grant-type funding and have the advocates in the community, those bus enthusiasts, et cetera, work with the Department of Transportation to try to identify money, not that we would be utilizing dollars that are necessary to maintain the bus lines, especially those ones in the 9% return rate, as a deputy commissioner was referring to, but to certainly move forward with the test as was presented to the advocates, and then have a long range plan to deal with something on the system. I know that we had spoken to the representatives from Liberty Lines, who said that they made the necessary adjustments in the bus facility, because as you know, it's almost like pit road down there, where they have, I guess, 3 minutes to get a bus from inside, washed, cleaned, taking the money out, and back out on the road on a speed basis, and they did whatever adjustments they had to do with the racks. So Mr. Chairman, with the proposal is to move in a direction that allows the test to move forward, and then to develop a set of legislation around that might require implementation for the entire system, however, with no funding that came from county tax levy, because that would be the only way that it would make sense in this economic time. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. We had, and you're right, before you came in, we had a discussion that focused, the discussion we had actually focused on what would be a requirement for all county buses. And if I hear you correctly, you're now focusing on the installation of the two existing racks and running them on a particular route here, Route 19. Let me ask the commissioner to handle this. But before you came in, we did discuss just generally this tremendous and building cash shortage to run the entire system this year, and the budget deficit that we're likely to encounter before we even reach year end, money being DOT's overriding concern, and that would be like money for almost everything and anything, including any additional costs that would be associated with the experiment. But the commissioner, maybe you can kind of home in on this.
As I was saying earlier,
I apologize.
That's us here. We are being driven by the economic realities to just reassess that entire position on the budget. In all honesty, every dollar we have from whatever source, we need to maintain service. As you know, at risk of boring, when we passed the budget earlier this year, you know, we had built in $3 million worth of service cuts. Okay, with some pain, we have implemented about $1.4 million. We have another 1.6 or 7 to go. Okay, we have identified available funding from the federal government that we could use to close that gap without making the cuts. However, we just learned recently that the governor's office has proposed a budget for the state that will cut our funding by $3.6 million. So we've got right now an operating hole, potentially $3.6 even after we add another $1.6 million. In all honesty, we're saying to you, we got to get stick to the basics, run the service, and not mislead anybody into believing that we can, even if we do a test and it's quote successful, that, you know, we're able to put more money into it. No. If we've got somebody who's got a grant money for that could pay for bike racks, we would ask them to pay for service.
And understanding that, certainly that there's targeted dollars that could be made available for specific things, although we might ask for something different. And certainly, Mr. Chairman, as you know, in our legislative package, that we're in a direction for the bus operating assistance dollars that the governor has proposed, that that we are asking for a flexibility. We're asking for flexibility that says basically that until our bus operating assistance equates to the counties of Nassau, and I believe Suffolk is which we normally
Nassau is the one that we do.
Until our cuts equal the gap in difference, that we should be spared that reduction. So it is a way of, in essence, us not receiving that cut of $3.6 million when they would do something across the board. And that would help us to protect that. But certainly, as a you know, legislature, we kind of you know, trying to balance that out with the needs of the community as they have presented it to us. And certainly, again, the main part of it is to say, you know, we know that there's going to be a test that's an X period of time. We promised the individuals in the community that there would be such a test. We went out and purchased. The money was already expended. The test, as far as the proposal is concerned, would be that should be executed and that in the future, certainly everyone understands the fiscal realities, and if the dollars are not there to implement something, that we should push that back with the advocates and make them be partners in trying to secure funding to do that. And that was the approach.
Wasn't it a grant that purchased the racks?
Yeah.
No, we purchased them straight up.
Just so you... Just a little background history, and one of the things that we had in one of the debates and everything several years ago was the fact that we went to our delegates, and Bill remembers, we had them down here. Mm-hmm. We met with them. We talked about the unfairness with STOA, that the county was only getting $25 million, whereas Nassau was getting $96 million. Their total operating expense was equated to be quite similar to ours. $125 million. Ours was about $96 to $100 million. We only get $25 million. They met. We had several meetings with them. A couple of us went to Albany for one of the legislative sessions, and they were able to get an increase. But once again, it's the Nassau down Long Island County delegates that just were not successful in coming over to our Westchester delegates' request. You know, and I think Bill did a good job when he was chair at that time of having them in and going through the unfairness, and we did get an increase the following year, and it's been steady for about 3 years, I think, right?
We had 40s. We had parity for about 2 years, and we were promised a return to parity, but it never, we promised, right?
Yeah.
And Mr. Chairman, that was part of the approach, at least on the legislative package side, to say, you know what, we understand the economic realities of the state of New York, and mm-hmm. you do certainly from your position up in NYSAC, is that we understand clearly that there's a $7 to $10 billion deficit for the state of New York, and it is extremely unlikely we're going to get more money. But what we're asking for is almost a credit, if you will, for the differences in funding, and there's some opportunity we think that that might be successful. But as on the $3 million side, separate from that, as far as the testing is concerned, is to say, you know what, we as the legislature worked with the Department of Transportation in order to secure these items in the beginning, and they were purchased, and they worked with the advocates in order to say, here's the test that we're going to do. And while I'm not sure how many people would be involved in that particular mm-hmm. test, mm-hmm. being mm-hmm. in Katona and Mount Pisco, certainly it's not something that was impacting the southern part of the county, but it was something that at least we could say to those advocates out there, the 8,000 or so advocates that were the bus advocates, that we would be able to do that. Certainly given the unfortunate tragedy that occurred with one of the main advocates, by the way, and with one of our Department of Transportation buses, with the Liberty Line buses, it seems to me only to be fair to make sure that we execute the program and plan that that the person advocated for mm-hmm. and do that, given the fiscal realities, and all of us understand the fiscal realities, including the advocates. But what I would hate to see happen, which you saw some of the emails that were flying around mm-hmm. Basically from that, which was almost that, you know, we sandbagged the people that were doing that, and that the Department of Transportation really wasn't interested in the very beginning. And we all understand that's just not true. Sure. That the Department of Transportation is certainly willing and able to make this test happen. And from a long-term view, if they can find somebody to make it happen, certainly the Department of Transportation and us would be saying, hey, we want to use that in operating. But if someone secures money specifically for a purpose, the way that things work in our federal government right now, we have to go towards that purpose. So that's
Mr. Chairman, I understand and I sympathize completely, but let me tell you in all honesty, there's two issues. One is, if we were to do this test, we risk misleading people into believing that systematic bike racks are around the corner. And we just don't.
We should tell them the truth. We should tell them the truth that the funding is not available.
The second thing is, later this year, we may be asking you to make significant cuts mm-hmm. in basic services that involve getting people to work. Okay? And frankly, testing bicycle racks at the same time we're taking people's basic service away seems disingenuous.
No, and Mr. Chairman, and that's certainly something that as a legislature that we would have in front of us, and certainly we would be making those decisions and very difficult economic decisions if they were presented to us. But as this legislature has done in the past prior to me being a part of this body, where the legislature has added in dollars to make sure that the fares were remaining at fair and equitable levels, mm-hmm. to make sure that service routes were maintained, that'll be something that we'll have to deal with at this point in time. But again, the request and the reason that that we went along this route of saying, okay, it sounds like we need to make this a law, but because again, the Department of Transportation is doing what it's supposed to be doing as far as trying to manage the budget in the most efficient way as possible, but we certainly have a responsibility to the taxpayers of Westchester County as well, and certainly those bike enthusiasts are a part of them, and to deal with it. So I appreciate the time.
Quick question on this point, Harry. If I understand, it's like maybe two racks, two buses to test it out, but how does that work operationally? These buses, I thought these buses sort of rotate around. Can you dedicate a bus to a line to kind of solve that problem, or these buses, their day-to-day go someplace else?
It's problematic, surely. We'd have to dedicate buses.
So because you could, I mean, if we wanted to follow that road. Yeah,
there's dollars involved in that.
Right, but you could say this bus is for the next month and a half, or 2 months we'll stay on that route?
Yes.
Okay.
But I mean, there are dollars involved.
Because right, ordinarily you just kind of buses go in and out, and they just kind of go where they go.
Yeah, especially because of the way we use the hub and spoke system. Buses come into White Plains. Most of the North County buses come into White Plains. And that's when I say North County. everything north of Getty Square. Okay, the others come into Getty Square. So, all right, and you know they'll come in as a 137. They'll go out as 119. They're constantly switching.
Well, sorry, so if we wanted to pursue that, we would have to go through you. What exactly
drivers and dedicate.
Does that mean there'd be some potential impact on operations on that? But it could be done if we wanted to really focus on that.
Yeah, I don't mean to sound negative, certainly not, Mr. Chairman. But we're going to basics of this. We are in desperate shape.
And again, in fairness, it's a balance. And us, the message, Mr. Chairman, is that we would have to get across to people that this is a test. And, you know, we can explain it to people when we're articulating that this is a test. That here's the long-range view that while we would love to do this, this is the level of expense that it is. Commissioner Sally's already put that out and said this is the amount of expense that it would be, and we would have to make that decision on the board whether or not that would make sense or not to do it. Quite frankly, we wouldn't make that decision. We would not choose service, you know, bike racks over service. It just would be silly, right? However, you know, to do the testing, having identified the testing routes already, the Department of Transportation has already identified and determined what best ways to make this happen with the constraints of having to be on specific buses. You know, the proposal is, well, let's do that. Right? And again, in our current economic time, given what people feel overall about government, at least we try to deliver something that we promised them that we were going to deliver inside of a cost that we've already expended. Right, you know, if we had to go out and purchase the racks, which I believe were in the $2,000 range a piece, if I remember right, and do that again, the question is, would we do that? And the answer is, at this time, in this economic climate, probably not. But again, that's the proposal. And
shouldn't we change the garage around too?
Yeah, my understanding from the Liberty Lounge folks, they said that
they
didn't.
Well, we would if we had to do the fleet.
Right, but just for these two, I thought they did.
With the in meeting with the Liberty Lines folks, when they were explaining to us how the test would have to work, they said that they made the adjustments necessary. They had Liberty Lines, Jerry Dearmore, and those folks had come in and suggested that they made the modifications already in the garage to accommodate the test. Now it was just a matter of switching on the test. So. I think the constraints have already been identified and dealt with. The reality is that there's not any set of funding in the any time near future that would be able to implement this system-wide, and that would certainly be something to be considered, but also just the beginning of a test in an area, and quite frankly, no one may use it, and that would be helpful as well to be able to present to the advocates and suggest that it's not a helpful thing.
Just dealing with the two bike racks, and knowing that you know there are operational impacts that would require a number of different things. Was there any ballpark estimate put together?
That's a missing item. Let me try to get you
as to what that might be.
Better than a ballpark about what? Yeah. How much would it cost?
Because I think I followed some of the emails and some of the writers were suggesting very simplistically that, you know, why have the racks just sitting there? You just mount them on the buses. But, of course, there's much, much more to it that translates into dollars.
That's right. I'm just trying to think. That route probably has two buses on it at any one time. You know, but then you can't run the same bus every day because you got to have maintenance. Yeah. And, you know, it just adds up.
Yeah.
Once you start taking, right now the way the fleet is completely installed, and we use the articulated buses mostly in the southern part of the county,
mm-hmm.
and the other buses in the north, but basically any bus can go anywhere. And in the course of the day, they tour.
That's the way the system is.
That gets back to my point, because if we want to try to work, we want to see that people are going to use it. We said, well, one day at 8 a.m. the bus had it, the next day that 8 a.m. bus didn't have it, it's on the 9 a.m. bus or something. So unless we could
that was why the Department of Transportation identified the route, identified the number of racks they needed. The racks were purchased so that Liberty Lines could do whatever retrofit.
But if it's only on one or two buses,
they figured out the route and said whatever route it was necessary to do.
8 a.m. it's going to have it, but the 9 a.m. it's not going to have it.
No, they're not.
They were going to leave it on.
Okay, why don't we do this? Let's let the commissioner see if we can come up with some numbers so we have better ideas to discuss
that. Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Go ahead.
Do you have other business?
No, because I was just going to mention that we don't really have anything.
I just want other specifically to invite, for the last thing. Parks Board meeting last Thursday, the 18th. I had submitted a proposal to every legislator asking for comments. I did get comments. I did respond back on Friday to every legislator, the full thing. Thank you for your comments. We did have to vote on one or two items that were listed originally as informational only because of the, you know, the need to get it done prior to the next meeting so that these fees can take place. We did talk about the non-resident fees. We looked at your question about how much is the revenue. Right now it's anticipated about $350,000 to $375,000.
From these increases?
And we did talk, yeah.
And a $10 is a big increase. The Easy Pass, $10, that seemed like a steep increase.
They said they did a survey and they felt that this, they'll have to be seen how it goes. But most of the people have already been calling. They want to know if they can do the phone Easy Pass. They don't want to sit there.
Even with the rate increase.
So, you know, they're looking for their 25 to 30 rounds of steady golf in the summertime. And, you know, time will tell whether, you know, it's effective or not.
Since that was no choice.
The increase in the golf things we did that last year, and subsequent to our increase, there was an increase by, you know, others to do even higher. That didn't go. And with Copeland and Mierstead, I talked to Peter, that's going to go through the state alienation process. Once we did it at the county board, we'll come to this board, come to our committee meeting, we'll have a full presentation. If it's approved here and out by the full board, it'll go to Albany for our state delegation with approval by, for I think it was a 20 or 25 year lease agreement for financial purposes, which is much the same as we did for the Children's Museum and the Stables and the other item. I think that, I'm trying to remember where the fourth one was, there were four.
VC
Park.
Very good.
Okay.
Okay.
If there's any other issues that come up, or if you see anything on the agenda, until I get either appointed or replaced on Parks, I will be attending and bringing up all the questions you have.
Okay. Harry, thank you.
Thank you very much.
As usual.
Thank you, Harry. Very informative.
A motion.
Second.
There's no objection. The committee stands adjourned.
Thank you. Yes.
Harry, I'll write to Bill, Rich and to Larry.
Alfreda. In the library.
Yeah. I did send them a reminder.
Nice. Thank you.
But the chief and the...
You know.
Excuse me.
I'd be...
That's the